Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're doing our whiteboard to boardroom segment where we take a problem and an idea and we bring it all the way down to execution. Joining us is Brian Copley. He's the CEO of City Builder, and we're gonna rock and roll. We got a problem we're gonna solve, and we're gonna execute this baby all the way to take it into the marketplace. But what's our problem, Brian?
The problem is you're an angel investor,
okay,
and you've got 1,000 different startups that want to pitch you.
I need deal flow coming in, right?
You need deal flow, but you don't want every deal.
I need the right deals.
You
want
to get the right deals. Yeah, and you want to vet those, and you don't want to have to go through emails to do it. You don't want to have to sift through a million different decks. You just want the right deals to show up in an app every morning.
And this is probably not for that huge, huge, huge level investor, because they probably have some type of a huge team. This is maybe for the investor who's ready to start investing, but maybe they don't know where to find these deals. I feel like there's a lot of people that I know that are wealthy. They're making 7 figures a year, but they themselves don't say that they're an investor. They go, hey, I'm looking to invest. When a deal comes across my plate, then I'll invest. But I'd love to have more deals, but I don't have the time to become a full-time investor because they don't know the model. So I think that's our target market here. So beginner investors, because I feel like, you know, if we're talking about like the sharks on Shark Tank, they've got their stuff taken care of. Now, granted, they have their own show, but I feel like even before the show, they've already been pitched. I know a lot of the investors that I personally am connected with that have $100 million net worth or more, they're set. For them, it's not deal flow. They've seen tens of thousands of deals. So I don't think it's our 100 million plus. I think it's our beginner investor who's making $1 million a year or more, or has a net worth of between 5 to 50 million.
Or it could even be your very seasoned investor who's looking to spend their time now on just the best deals, and they want an empirical, data-driven methodology to meet with the people who are really gonna like knock it out of the park.
So what's our problem again? Write that up there.
Yeah, the problem is,
what are we gonna put for this?
Need deal flow.
Okay, so need deal flow. Sounds like it could be a website platform. What are you thinking?
I think it's an app. And the way that you get the app started is you send out invites to only the top 1,000 angel investors in the world.
Okay.
And only the first 100 that sign up get access. Once they're in, they rate one another with rating systems. And then you crowdsource. They have to rate everybody in there.
They rate each other.
They rate each other.
Based off of what data?
Based on their own evidence. So these are the top 1,000 investors. They all know one another. It's a small circle. Mm. And they say, you know what? This guy, this Chris Sacca guy, he always picks winners. He's got a great gut. Yeah. I like the guy.
Who's been a guest on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Was an investor. And I think I'm just making these up.
Twitter.
It was Twitter, like Uber. WhatsApp. It was like all the biggest companies are like.
Wasn't interested in Instagram. Just kind of hacky sacked that one off.
Yeah. He was like one of the best investors in like probably the 5 biggest things that happened recently. So.
Yeah. Chris is awesome, right? So I would give Chris a 100. This is a 0 to 100 point scale. Okay. So these guys all rate each other. And then we find out who our power investors are.
And if we get him on board, then it should be easy for him to get all of his buddies on board.
Yeah, we get network effects. We get all kinds of cool stuff going on, right?
Okay.
You have like, you limit the supply to create some demand, right? Only 100 people get it, 1,000 invites go out, that's it. Very limited supply.
Okay.
And these people join, they rate one another, we find out who our power investors are, and then deal flow starts coming through.
Okay.
And these people rate the deals, and then pass them on, and other people rate them, and you get a crowdsource.
And I think another thing that I'm thinking as well is, these investors can be the source to creating our deal flow, because maybe we have such a good algorithm, like you guys at CityBidder have for your real estate. Maybe we have such a good algorithm that they say, I won't even look at your offer until you've gone on, we'll have to figure out the name of our thing here.
Hmm.
So CityBidder. I won't even look, all the investment deals going to investors, this is like our ideal scenario, is I think we take all these investors, say I won't even look at your deal until it's gone through whatever our platform is, because the algorithm there shortens the learning curve and gives me all the information that I need.
Yeah, absolutely. So you need deal flow, you want quality, you don't want to waste time, maybe you're a beginner investor, you want to follow someone that you've heard of before.
Yeah.
They've had a lot of success, they've got a track record, and you jump on, you download, let's see if this one's taken. We'll have to Google this.
This is going to be the name?
Investor.
Okay. Investor like City Builder.
Sure.
We're here doing the whiteboard to boardroom segment. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Brian Copley's joining us as our guest. He's the CEO of City Builder. So solution delivery, we're going to do, the name of it's going to be Investor. We're going to do, I think it's going to be an app and a website.
Sure.
Okay. So app and website is what I'm writing on the board right now. Name of it's going to be Investor with three R's. What about funding? I mean, we're talking about investing here, so we got to fund this baby. Are we bootstrapping this? Are you and I self-funding it together? Are we going to raise money?
Yeah, that's a great question.
I think if we could get a big name investor like a Chris Sacca or a Mark Cuban or a Damon John or a Robert Hershevik, I'm naming the people that have either been guests on Shark Tank or are on Shark Tank, Marcus Lemonis from the Profit TV show, if we could get a big investor behind this, I think that's the distribution channels into the influencers that we want. We already have, you know, I think the concept built pretty well here, but again, it's kind of like, if it's about investors, if it was by an investor, you know, for investors, by investors becomes the mantra.
Right? Couldn't agree more. That's great. Yeah. Okay. So you get a big name investor in, that person leads you around, and you actually proof of concept on investor.
Exactly.
You're the first one.
Exactly.
You actually go through the investor's swipe right or left on you.
What are we going to ask for our fund? Are we going to do a million? Are we going to do half a million?
Let's get a big name investor on, have them throw $250,000 to lead the round. Let's raise $1 million at a $4 million cap.
Okay.
20% discount, leave some meat on the bone for investors.
Okay.
Yeah, make it fair, go
put,
out,
put it down.
The concept. Let's
put it down on there for funding.
Let's do it.
I like that.
$1 million, convertible note.
Okay. So how are we going to use this initial funding right off the bat, right? So we're going to get this funds. How are we going to allocate it? Obviously, we're going to have to build out the platform, hire developers, things that you've been great at is surrounding yourself with awesome people. So how are we going to utilize this money?
Yeah, three legs of the stool first. So make sure that you get that covered. Your three legs are business.
Okay.
So you got your hustler.
Yeah.
You've got your designer. And this is your kind of your product guy.
You've done this before.
Yeah. And your third leg of the stool is tech. You got your hacker.
Okay. All right. And you've got some good ones on your team.
Yeah, I think so. There you go. So your hustler, your product guy, your hacker, designer. Perfect.
Okay.
So you get those three people on.
Yeah.
Those are your co-founders. You go out, you look for additional developer resources. You look for designer resources. You need marketing.
Yeah.
And I think marketing will be key on this too, because if you can really create a critical mass, this should be a better way to do things than the way things are being done now, which is just kind of patching a lot of stuff together and a lot of email, just kind of web 1.0 ways of finding great deal flow.
So before we recap and summarize, what are we going to do for that sales and marketing as you're going into right now? How are we going to sell and market this thing? Meaning, how are we going to establish preeminence in the marketplace with a strategic marketing plan that's going to allow us to differentiate ourselves from all the other ways that businesses and investors get their deal flow currently? How are we going to differentiate ourselves? And then how are we going to go about getting these investors and then getting the people who have the businesses that have the product, services, ideas, whatever, and get them on the platform?
Yeah, there's a couple interesting ways I'm thinking of. Number one, you could create some awesome content with your lead investor.
Yeah.
So we've already said that we've got a great lead investor who's led this round, right? Yeah. So let's say you have Chris Sacca.
We get Chris or Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys who are crushing in the space.
Yeah, they're awesome. They're really personable. They're great in front of cameras. So you put them in there and you basically like have them be an entrepreneur trying to get funding or an investor trying to find deal flow.
Yeah.
And you kind of create some satire and you say, hey, what the heck is this, right? Like, and then they get all into it and they're like, this is great, right?
Yeah.
Or something like that. And you make some great content. That would be one way to go. The other way you could go is just,
So we'll write down content marketing.
Yep.
Content marketing. And we can just do acronym CM. So content marketing, SEO. And then of course we can always do, marketing on Facebook based on custom audience, interest groups, and segmentation funnels where we actually are generating leads for our content to get more of it. We can also do, targeted ads for people who have been on Kickstarter or Indiegogo or Crowdfunder, people who have attended incubators, people that live in Silicon Valley, people that have shown that they're an investor on LinkedIn profiles. We can target all these people. So there's a lot of things that we can do.
I like events too.
Yeah, go to events.
Jason Calacanis does a launch event where you get like 10,000 founders that show up.
Yeah.
You get a booth, you spend a couple $1,000s, you have all these founders come through, you show them this, you have investors coming through. You get a lot of bang for your buck that way.
So events and 15 other things that we could do.
Yeah.
Let's do a quick recap as we wrap up. So walk us through all of these different things, just short and sweet.
So problem is, you need deal flow, you want quality deals to look at, you're a startup investor,
yeah.
you're just new. So target market is the beginning investors.
Okay.
So the solution is Investor. It's an app that allows you to use crowdsourced information from very well-known investors to determine which deals to look at. Swipe right, swipe left, Tinder interface, pretty simple.
We're using that as a reference. So we're going to raise $1 million, just keep it simple without going into all the intricacies of this. And for sales and marketing, we got about 15 things we just ended on, so we don't need to recap that. Basically, content marketing, SEO, social media, events.
Capture your data, measure, get your ROI, make sure that you're finding the right channels, augment the good channels, kill the bad ones.
It's as simple as that. This was Whiteboard to Boardroom. We're done here. Brian Copley, CEO of City Builder. Pleasure having you on, brother. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Taylor Walker is joining us. He is the co-founder of Earth Encounters. Taylor, it's a pleasure to have you, brother.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so you got to tell us, what does your company do?
So I run a gaming company called Earth Encounters. We sell board games, educational board games, and right now we're listed online, and that's what we do.
How did you get into the gaming space? Especially, these are just straight up board games?
Yeah, straight up board games. This is just phase one, though. We eventually want to take it to phase two, but it's really random, because I came from the athletic space. I played basketball in college. And
somehow you got into the board games.
Yeah, my dad came up with the original idea in 1989 before I was even born, because he played Trivia Pursuit one night and didn't take anything away from it. So he wanted to create a platform where people can come together and discuss like real life issues that affect people. And so after I got into the MBA program, I wanted a way to kind of like put my entrepreneurial skills to work.
Yeah.
And so I helped create this physical product.
So give me a contextual example. We bust open the box, which we're actually gonna do in a little bit, loop here. We're gonna bring the box out, we're gonna talk about it.
Okay.
But give me an example, what happens? I open up the game.
So you open up the game and you have a choice of either answering a Q&A question or a thought experiment. And a thought experiment will be like, what changed the world more? Paper or plastic, and why? And so there's no right or wrong answer to these questions, but they're set up so where people can work on their logical reasoning skills.
Okay.
And there's also stuff that talks about civics, history, personal health, personal finance, and so disaster preparedness. We're just trying to teach people how to become better citizens.
I love that. And you said that you were in sports before you got into this, but was there something in between?
I created a company called Athletes for Athletes. It was a company designed to help athletes who were, you know, participating in Division I sports who also needed to prepare for the real world. And so a lot of times everybody feels like they're going to be professional athletes.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to, you know, teach them how to like create a resume, how to create a cover letter, how to like talk to recruiters and stuff like that. And so the lesson I learned was, you know, we as athletes, our group, we weren't really educated in that sphere. So I wanted to create a platform for us to
transition. How did that go?
Transition.
Because
it went really well.
It actually went well?
We started off at LMU, and then we branched out into Pepperdine University.
Nice. So you started with the private schools.
Exactly. And we started, and then we actually started branching off to more high schoolers and stuff like that. But we started with just basketball, and then we branched out to like all different sports like golf, tennis, and soccer, and it turned out really well.
Nice. And what ended up happening with that? Because a lot of times people will be like, I like to know for the sake of myself, and for everybody listening, is did that, like, because it's the evolution of an entrepreneur, did that something that you sold, was it something that you just ended up stopped doing?
Well, we had three partners, and I kind of just you know I exited from that because I just wanted to work on other things, and I had a lot of stuff going on, and my dad had the board game, so I wanted to you know kind of transition to that. But two of my partners are still doing it on LMU's campus, and it's still going well, and so it's more of like a way of us giving back.
Very cool. And what was the hardest part about getting started, not with that business, but with Earth Encounters? Was it raising money? What part
I would
was
say it?
It
was the raising money part. Yeah. We went the Kickstarter route, and we didn't really, well, me personally, I didn't know anything about crowdfunding. Okay. And so it was just me, and I wanted to figure out, you know, what's the best way to, you know, see if this is going to be a sticky product, or if people are going to really pick this up. And so Kickstarter was the way to go for us, and it was a learning experience. I had to like learn everything from manufacturing to putting together a PR campaign all by myself. And so just the amount of time it took to like really educate myself in those aspects was the most challenging.
Just executing it alone is difficult, but the learning curve that you have to have on top of that is difficult. What's something that you would advise those people out there that are either about to start their Kickstarter campaign or in the middle of it, or are thinking, I've got an idea, this would be good for Kickstarter? Because now that you've been through it your first time, obviously you've probably learned some pretty good things that could help somebody out. So what would those be?
I would say preparation is the most important thing.
Knowing, so if you think 3 months or 6 months, you were saying it's probably hopefully maybe a year.
Yeah, I would say like maybe a year out, start planning it out, making sure that you have your right team, making sure you know which kind of rewards you're going to be giving out, making sure that you put together a good strategy for your video, because the video is one of the most important things from a visual standpoint. It's the first thing that people see. I would think those are the things that people would really need to focus on. Okay. And also just knowing your industry, because every single industry within the Kickstarter realm, I'm just going specifically to Kickstarter, but everything within that realm is pretty much different. So for tabletop games, we had a certain strategy. For clothing, it's a different strategy. For technology, it's a different strategy. So just knowing which space that you fall in.
So at the end of the day, preparation, and also with the preparation is whatever time you think it's going to take. In your case, right, 6 months, you probably want to have double the amount of time. Co-founder of Earth Encounters is joining us, Taylor Walker. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Have you had mentors growing up?
I've had
parents, coaches. If you're in sports, you obviously had great coaches.
Yeah, I was lucky because my mentors that were in sports were also very successful in the business space.
Which and is so, rare, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly. So one of my mentors, his name is AD. He did everything from real estate to starting an herbal company, and he's doing really well with that. And so he's kind of taught me and facilitated like what I should be doing at this point in my life in my 20s, you know, how I should be approaching life, how should I be approaching business. And just learning that from him has been so inspirational. And so
you got advice for the mentor. That's obviously invaluable. What's advice as your own mentor to your younger self? What would that be?
I would say don't be so hard on yourself, because I just thought, you know, success is just very linear. I thought that everything, if I do this, this is the consequence that they're going to be for that. But typically in business, that never, things don't really go according to plan. And so just being able to deal with that adversity and not getting too, like, you know, stressed out or too negative, I think that would be one of the things that I would have to teach myself, and just patience.
I'm a beginning entrepreneur. I'm an aspiring entrepreneur. Maybe I'm in my first year. Maybe I'm thinking about getting started and cutting the cord. What are maybe three or four traits I need to know as I'm getting started on my journey? You kind of alluded at some of them.
Well, I would say one is execution. There's when you're just now starting out, there's a plethora of things that you have to do. And I would just say attacking each single one by one.
Okay. Chunk it down and take action.
Chunk it down, make a list, a to-do list. I would definitely say staying positive, like I mentioned before. I would also say, you know, have a strong resolve. You know, there's going to be times where people are not going to always be receptive to what you have to say, receptive to what your product or your idea, and just being able to just see the vision and push through that, you know, the backlash. I think that would be one of the most important things. I would actually move that to the top, because you have to have a strong resolve. And then lastly, try to see the value that your product brings, and then I would try to just go out and add value.
Which is huge, because most people are making the mistake of asking first, asking for the money before giving the product which delivers the value.
Or just creating a product just for the money.
Yeah.
You know, if you actually add value to somebody's life, it will go a long way. You can never underestimate the power of word of mouth. And so by creating that value for people, I think that gives them more of an incentive to, you know, vet your product or service.
Which is invaluable advice, because nowadays, the people and the companies that are just trying to sell their products don't stand a chance against the companies that are selling education, transparency, empathy, tribe, community. Value first, or adding so much value that inevitably buying the product something that comes up. We'll be right back with Taylor Walker. He's going to bust out some of his products, and we're going to dive in on his company. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This report is brought to you by Blistex. Odor Eaters is back for their 44th annual fun yet smelly rotten sneaker contest. All participants at this national contest raised a stink by showing off their foul-smelling sneakers at the annual event. Children traveled from near and far to compete at this year's contest hosted at Ripley's Believe It or Not for a chance to win the national smelly title, $2,500, and tickets to the Broadway show Aladdin. But only one lucky pair of rotten sneakers could be crowned the winner, and they belong to 15-year-old Seneca Slocum from Eagle River, Alaska. And while scientists thought that the human nose could only detect about 10,000 different smells, they recently discovered that this number increased to 1 trillion, making it possible for our judges to find a new foul scent on every sniff. George Aldridge, NASA's chief sniffer.
This year's participants really brought the smells with the foulest of odors. Kids are known for getting into some stinky messes, but these kids sure have a talent.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Taylor Walker's joining us. He's the co-founder of Earth Encounters. As you can see here, we've got the board game. So we know it's a board game, but tell us a little bit more about it.
So Earth Encounters is basically a platform to create meaningful dialogue amongst family and friends on issues that affect all of us in our daily lives, whether it's personal health, personal finance, disaster preparedness, civics, history, sports, you name it. And these are all topics that everybody should know about, but that we kind of take for granted.
Okay, so let's play an example here. I love the art on this thing, by the way. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at the back here. But tell me, what's going on? We're about to start playing the game. What's the first thing we do?
So first, the game takes place in space, and there's an alien life form that feeds on knowledge and has come to Earth, and we, as players, are the aliens that are going to come and learn more about our life's inhabitants. So we start from the time ship, and we work our way to try to find this alien, right?
Okay.
And so in doing so, we learn about us humans. And so we learn about, you know, what are the three branches of governments? What kind of governments are set up in the United States? Or what kind of health issues are affecting our nation and stuff like that? And then we compete against each other in doing so.
So I'm learning while I'm playing the game.
You're learning while you're competing and having fun.
So did you do research and find out that people are actually going to play board games versus online?
So according to data from 2008, since the recession, board game sales have actually increased while electronic games have decreased.
Wow, why do you think that is?
I think it's because board games bring more of a family unity together, and from a fiscal standpoint, it makes more sense to invest money into a board game that's going to last you over a long period of time than to spend $60 on a game that's going to be outdated in a couple of months. So I think families are noticing that. Also, there's the human interaction that comes from board games that you can't replicate when playing video games or electronic games.
This looks like this must have cost some money to get this thing made. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's heavy too. It's like 15 pound, I don't know, it's pretty heavy. So you guys had to raise money for this, or did you self-fund?
Yeah, we did Kickstarter campaign, so we crowdfunded, and we ended up hitting 130% of our goal. And It was a challenging experience, to say the least, because it was just me basically running it. My father, my business partner's, you know, 60s, on the upper side of 60. I'm not going to disclose his age. But
so he's very wise.
Yes, exactly. He's very wise. So it was just a learning curve for me. And running the Kickstarter campaign by myself, I learned a lot about marketing. I learned a lot about manufacturing, fulfillment, all these things I had to, you know, do myself. Even just making the video itself, like video production. And so
some people say that might be the hardest part.
Yes, it was a hard part. And, but I mean, everything throughout all of that, there were some ups and there were some downs. When we first launched our Kickstarter campaign, we had a set schedule how we wanted to dissect the campaign. So in the beginning, we wanted to at least hit 20% of our funding goal, because the metrics show that Kickstarter campaigns that hit that 20% are 80% more successful. So we did that in the first day, got a Kickstarter staff pick within the first hour of launching. But we had a USA Today article that was supposed to release on that Wednesday, which was 3 days into the campaign. For whatever reason, it got delayed. And so just like dealing with little...
the ups and downs.
Yeah, the obstacles that just get thrown at you amongst like a hectic 30 days.
And that's inevitable. I mean, that's being an entrepreneur, is learning how to weather the storms and having a plan and not having it work out and being able to adapt and adjust.
Exactly.
So you've obviously learned that right off the get-go. How much money did you guys raise again?
$20,000.
$20,000. And how did you allocate those funds? Because some people are out here raising $20 million. Mm-hmm. Now, some people might say $20,000 could be just as hard or harder than the $20 million because some guys only write checks for $10, $20 million. Mm-hmm. So $20,000, you did it on Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. How did you decide to allocate those funds? Because that's bootstrapping it, so you got to be really smart.
So originally we were going to get it produced and manufactured in the U.S.
Okay.
And that was going to run us about $60,000. So from looking at it from that standpoint, we were going to come up short and have to look for other ways of funding it.
Yeah.
But we looked to Alibaba to outsource most of our production, and we found a Chinese company that was able to do it for a fraction of the price that we would have had to do get it produced out here.
Yeah.
And so we were able to actually save a lot of money and have some surplus in order to go towards production, online advertisements and stuff like that. So we always wanted to be able to fulfill our Kickstarter orders. That was our top priority going into it after we had our available funds.
Because that's a reflection of your guys' integrity. At the end of the day, you've already accepted money from people.
Exactly.
You didn't maybe necessarily even disclose where it was going to get made. You're going to fulfill that order, and then you can always come back to America and get things done. But at the end of the day, I love the fact that you guys found a way to make it happen, because that's what entrepreneurs do.
Exactly.
Entrepreneurs don't worry about the resources they have. Mm-hmm. They just are resourceful with whatever they do have.
Right.
So you guys made it happen.
And then also you have to build up their integrity. I mean, people are trusting us with their money, and they're also, you know, They're showing us that they trust our concept and our vision, and so we want to, you know, give back to them and make sure that they're taken care of 110%.
What did you guys do for getting traffic to the landing page? Because even if you've got a great landing page, even if you've got a great idea, even if you've got a great video, none of that matters without the traffic.
Right.
So how did you make sure you got the traffic? Because you said your article that was supposed to go out, which would have been huge, didn't end up happening. So you must have had some other things you were doing to push traffic.
Yeah, so we only 33% of our Kickstarter backers came from the actual Kickstarter community. So the rest came from our families and friends. We had the story that we got from ABC7. We got an article that we got from USA Today, and I'm going to give you a little tidbit on how that happened. So being an entrepreneur, you got to do whatever you have to do in order to be successful. So this was February, so this is Black History Month. The actual editor for USA Today happened to be a black woman. And so our pitch to her was, look, we're an African-American company. We're trying to do something to help their communities and stuff like that. And so I think that we got a little like leeway on that.
You got to do what you got to do.
We had to do what we had to do.
You got to play your strengths.
Exactly.
Again, back to being resourceful.
Exactly. But that USA Today article was huge, because it not only gives us exposure to their broad outreach, but it also gives us credibility and lets other people know that this is like a very important product. And so we were able to do that. We also partnered with LMU and Pepperdine University. We reached out to educational bloggers, which we're still doing to promote ourselves right now. And so that's what we basically did to get our outreach. And then once the Kickstarter community saw that we were getting traction, then we started to get those customers also.
So I'm seeing how you connected the dots here for this, but what are you going to do to continually, sustainably sell this thing? Because at the end of the day, that's the real key. What are you guys doing to sell this and market it?
So we partner with the educational blogs. There's about 50 of them that get hundreds of thousands of people every single day. And so we're doing pay-per-click advertising, and we're also doing reviews, and we're also doing featured stories. And on those stories that get featured, they get blasted to all their social media sites, Facebook and Instagram, et cetera. So that's just constant impressions for us. And since we're in the educational landscape, it's helping us get additional customers.
Okay, so you guys are doing some grassroots marketing, mm-hmm. plus capitalizing on social media. Mm-hmm. Co-founder of Earth Encounters, Taylor Walker, is joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. What else are you doing on social media? Because mm-hmm. so many people are on there. You got children, you got grandparents, you got everybody in between. You got Fortune 500 CEOs. Mm-hmm. You've got, I'm sure, millions of your target customers. Mm-hmm. What are you doing to capitalize on that? Are you doing targeted Facebook ads? Mm-hmm. You were talking about a little of it, mm-hmm. but I want to go deep because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, the only thing that's going to allow your business to thrive and become a house name brand mm-hmm. is if you can dial in the sales and marketing.
Right. Now, you also got to think that it's all about building the story. You know, yeah. you got to tell a story with whatever brand or whatever company you have. So yeah. our story is, this is the state of our nation right now. What are we doing to improve it? So for our social media platforms—
You got to get Obama playing this thing or something.
Yeah. we're constantly highlighting stories that people are doing yeah. good things in our communities. We're also, in our Instagram, we're also giving out facts on different stuff that we find are interesting, giving out resources. Like, mm-hmm. for instance, this is a quick example, but there's private institutions that charge $200 to $300 for each family to give them their evacuation plans or whatever type of plans to help prevent, like,
It's basically the preparation for
Yeah,
them.
Preparation plans yeah. for whenever disaster strikes. Ready.gov offers all of these resources for free. And so what we're doing is providing free content so people can come back to us and say, okay, this is a bunch of resources that we can use for our own families and friends. And so that's how we've been starting to build traction.
Is that in the game
Facebook.
Or outside of the game, you're
both,
using that as content?
We're using that in the game and through our Facebook. So on our Instagram, we're just painting a story on like what we're doing, why are these issues important? Yeah. And then through our Facebook, we're highlighting articles, we're highlighting people that are doing good in our communities, people that are giving back to our veterans, stuff like that. So we want to highlight all positive things in our community because there's a bunch of negativity out there.
Which is awesome because you're literally the shining light example of the game. The game is supposed to elicit those types of things and provide the content and education.
Right.
And so you're making sure that you're taking slices and slivers here and there that are relevant and contextual out in the real world.
Right.
And you're providing that because if I like that, inevitably, right, like we were talking about earlier, provide value first.
Right.
If you provide value and I'm, you know, start to nurture me and provide me more value, maybe I even join a newsletter, follow you on social media.
And that builds that community. And those the community are the people that are going to be vouching for us. And that's what's been happening throughout the whole nation. We have educational programs that are reaching out to us, wanting to feature our games, and debate clubs, high schools, and in impoverished low-income areas. The kids out there need these type of products.
Yeah.
And so that's why we've been able to build our online sales.
What about some like crazy, have you guys thought about doing any crazy stuff? Like you play the game and you know, you win, you get $10,000, but you like, or you have a championship where everybody's competing and works up for a big prize.
We have some things in the works for like some tournaments that are gonna be hosted at certain schools and universities and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I can't give too many details right now.
It's under the wraps.
Yeah, it's under the wraps, but we have had people reach out to us and to set up tournaments and stuff like that and to give scholarship money to help kids go to college.
I love that. Where can people learn more about you and find out about Earth Encounters?
Earthencounters.us. You can also check us out on our Twitter handle at Earth Encounters. And on Instagram at Earth Encounters, and on our Facebook page.
There you go. You heard it from the co-founder himself, Taylor Walker. Thanks for coming on the show, brother.
Appreciate you having me.
Appreciate you too, bro. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
And now, a Business Rockstars Minute. How do you overcome a no when trying to get funding? I'm Pat O'Brien with the Business Rockstars Minute. Encountering a no from a potential investor can be disheartening, but don't allow it to derail your dream. Here's a few ways you can improve your potential and perhaps even be reconsidered for funding. One, be professional. It's not disrespectful to follow up, but don't hound them. Remember, a certain level of professionalism at all times. Two, raising capital is a long-term goal, even after landing a commitment. Three, a no can be on the road to yes. Obstacles, failures, rejections, they're all exits on the freeway of entrepreneurship. Keep going past any potential derailments. There's dozens of routes to successful fundraising, when you encounter an obstacle, breathe and then keep working toward your ultimate goal. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
This report is brought to you by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, a contractor to the Beef Checkoff. Did you know 42% of people use their smart devices in the kitchen, and almost half of them have used it for cooking assistance? Modern technology is being applied in the kitchen in new and exciting ways. Now, advancements in artificial intelligence can even bring the skills of a chef and the knowledge of a rancher to the home kitchen with Chuck Knows Beef. Chuck Knows Beef, an all-knowing virtual beef expert powered by Google Artificial Intelligence, is here to meet the newest generation of family cooks with beef inspiration and technology. Chuck's knowledge can be easily accessed through a smart speaker. Jennifer Jasinski, chef and restaurant owner.
Chuck was designed to fit consumer needs with instant access to recipes, cut and nutrition information, and cooking tips wherever they happen to be. He can serve a great steak recipe and even text you the shopping list.
For more information, visit ChuckKnowsBeef.com. Again, that's Chuck Knows.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
Returns and exchanges. How does it affect a small business? I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. My guest today is Nate Holzapfel. You're the co-founder of Mission Bell Co., brother. It's good to have you here again.
Here I am again.
I love having you on here, brother. You're full of wisdom and advice. So let's dive in. Returns and exchanges. How does it affect small business?
Well, it can be a huge deficit to your business if you aren't careful. Inevitably, there will always be returns. And you can't be naive. You got to realize that 3% of all products are going to break. They're just going to break. You make a million of something.
Even if they're belts?
Even if they're belts.
Even if they're belts.
Make a million of something. I think it's safe to say that, you know, 30,000 of them, they're gonna break. That's real. It's a real number.
That's real talk.
Yeah, it's real talk. 30,000 is a lot. And you have to put a system in place that's gonna allow you to not only deal with it, but you've actually got to figure out how to keep the money in the business and take it and turn it into a return rather, or an exchange rather than a return.
Okay.
Returns end up costing you more money. Exchanges cost you money, but returns cost you all the money.
So give us a contextual example of an artful, strategic, elegant way you guys have turned a return into an exchange.
Okay, we did this thousands of times, okay. A month, right?
Yeah.
So here's what you gotta realize right off the bat. First of all, when a customer has an issue, don't try to dive in and fix it. It's a key mistake of Pee Wee Little League guys. They just try to get in there. Well, hold on, they get defensive. Well, you sure get the right size? Did you get the wrong size? Or is it just, what's the problem? Stop back. Step back and acknowledge. Just say, I'm so sorry that you had a problem.
So sales 101, align with the person.
Yeah, just align with the person. Just say, look, I'm sorry for the screw up. And just pause. Let them say, well, thanks. Oh, okay, great. Mm-hmm. So let me make some notes here. What's going on? And then they'll say, well, I got this product and it's bluer than I thought it should be, or it's this or it's that or whatever. Mm. Great, okay. What would you like to see happen? and then let them tell you, because you don't, you might not have to talk them into doing an exchange if they're already open to doing that.
Okay, so some people would end up putting the noose around their own neck.
yeah, they jump in there and be like, well, no, hold on, like, we can change, we can get better, totally, yeah. Man, don't take us off the air. No, just relax, Garth, you know? Okay. So what you say is, you give people an opportunity that way, and sometimes they'll say, you know, I just want to get a return, get my money back. Great, that's not a problem. Let me ask you this. If I could find you something that was less blue, would that work for you? I don't know. Great. And then you have to have this in place. You have to capacitate your people with this ahead of time because they can't make decisions. The people on the phone are not really super decision makers.
So the training's key.
Offer them something. Say, look, you know, if we get this for you, whatever, you know what? What if we gave you 25% off this? Or what if we gave you a free product? Or what if we gave you this? Or what if we did that? Or what if we gave you 6 more months of customer support? Whatever it is, whatever the product may be. Incentivize them with something. You want to keep that money in the kitty. Because I'll be really honest with you, if you do a return, the money's never coming back.
Returns and exchanges is what we're talking about right now. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Nate Holdsoffel is my guest right now. He's the co-founder of Mission Belt Co. Brother, let's dive in a little bit more here.
All right, let's dive in.
As we come to a wrap, all right?
Okay.
Returns and exchanges, you were giving some great examples. Maybe what's one of the craziest things somebody in your company has asked or come to you when they wanted a return or exchange?
I had a guy once who told us that the belts that he had bought, they had worn out his shorts.
He was blaming the belt on wearing out his shorts.
He'd only had the product for like 2 weeks.
Okay.
And he had a bunch of shorts, and he wanted to let me know specifically that each pair of these shorts cost nearly $50 each, wow. Which I guess is a lot of money for shorts.
It's a relative scale,
right? Seems quite reasonable. I mean, that's what Pacific Sunwear charges, and I think that's kind of going rate for a pair of cool shorts these days. But he was very, very specific about it and told me that he had to get all of his shorts dry cleaned and everything. So he ended up wanting us to handle his dry cleaning bill, and he wanted to keep the belts.
Wow.
So they might have ruined his shorts, but
he wanted to
not
keep
so
them.
Bad not that he couldn't keep enough. His thing, whatever. So we ended up getting ourselves in a little spot here. We say, okay, well, what have we got here? What's going on? So we handled the dry cleaning for the guy, did his thing, and said, hey, thank you very much. Hope everything's great and awesome. He says, no, I want you to do the dry cleaning.
What do you mean I want you to do the dry cleaning?
He mailed the shorts to us to do the dry cleaning. We literally took them out and had them dry cleaned ourselves.
You couldn't just pay him for it?
He didn't want that.
He didn't want
us to handle it.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a bizarre
situation. I can imagine
situation
how this bothered you.
So we handled it. It was an expensive transaction. And some people would say, well, Nate, that was really stupid to do that. Well, maybe. Maybe not.
I think it was good.
Yeah, it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And you got to realize in today's day and age that the way you're going to take care of your customers is by taking care of your customers. It is not enough just to ask for the money. The world is too small of a place online. All it takes is a horrible tweet and you got a problem.
Yeah.
Fix the tweet when it comes in. You know, most people don't realize that Twitter and social media is where most of your customers are actually going to be doing their complaining.
So you may or may not even see it on there, but you need to mitigate the risk in the beginning.
You do got to mitigate the risk in the beginning. Just you put the fire out before it even starts. You know what I mean? The reason we don't do fireworks on the 4th of July up in the dry mountains of the Santa Monica Mountains is because there's a good chance of fire. So don't do them. So you have to be really, really careful and sensitive. So if it takes dry cleaning some customer shorts, you know, do
then
it.
You need to do it. So
just do it. Because here's the thing is, I'm still rich. I'm still successful, right?
$10, $20, it doesn't matter.
$50, $60. The point is, on the larger scale, we've made money. One or two people, you don't. And businesses that don't get that, they're crazy. I literally went in the other day to a place to buy a suit, and they told me they were going to have it ready. They ended up making two mistakes on when they got ready. And instead of just saying sorry, they said, Nate, here's $1,000 gift card. Not 20% off. Here's $1,000 gift card. You're a good customer. Here's $1,000. $1,000. It didn't imply me to spend any money. There's plenty of things in that store that cost less than $1,000. They put their money where their mouth was. And when you're ready to do that, you're going to be in the big leagues. You're going to be an awesome customer service person. You're going to have awesome customers that love you, and they will never leave you. Because when a customer leaves you, they're firing you. Yeah. And every time you see a business that's out of business, it's not because the location was bad or the market changed. It's because their customers fired them. Blockbuster Video's customers fired them.
Yep. Well, it's the ups and the downs of returns and exchange.
It is.
But Nate is in the big leagues of business. I love the way you run it, brother. Thanks for coming on and sharing that with us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, man. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that the host nor Business Rockstars is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.